The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Sarah Cherry, and I'm with the Office of Air Quality Planning and Standards. Welcome to today's webinar. We're going to give folks a few minutes to sign in. We know we have a number of people who are in the process of logging on. We'll give them a minute to do that and then go ahead and get started. So thank you for your patience. Hi, everybody. This is Sarah Terry again from the Office of Air Quality Planning and Standards. Thanks for joining our call today on the Clean Power Plan implementation update. We'll hear an introduction today from Janet McCabe, our Acting Assistant Administrator for EPA's Office of Air and Radiation, and an implementation update presentation from Juan Santiago, who is the Associate Director of the Air Quality Policy Division in the Office of Air Quality Planning and Standards. At the end of the presentations, we will have a few poll questions that we will ask of you, and there will be some time to answer clarifying questions from you about the presentation. As a reminder, we are here to answer questions about this update, not about the Clean Power Plan rule that was proposed this summer. For that rule, we are in a deliberative period, so cannot speak to aspects of that rulemaking. You can type questions into the GoToWebinar software at any time. I know one of the first questions is whether this webinar will be recorded and made available. The answer to that is yes. In the next week, you can expect to see a link to a recorded version of this webinar available at www.epa.gov/cleanpowerplantoolbox. Before we get started, however, I'm going to turn things over to Wendy Jaglom with ICF International, who will cover a few quick logistics for GoToWebinar. Wendy?
Great. Thanks, Sarah. Before we get started, at this point, everybody should be able to both see the title slide and hear us speaking. For those who are potentially unable to hear, I've put up a poll question so that you can indicate via this poll question whether you're having any difficulties hearing. Similarly, if you are not seeing the screen, not seeing the slide, or not seeing it clearly, please use the GoToWebinar questions pane to let us know. As Sarah mentioned, throughout the webinar, you can use the GoToWebinar questions pane to ask questions or to let us know of any technical difficulties. Note that during the webcast, participants will be on mute and that the webinar will be recorded. So please use the questions pane to send in any questions or technical difficulties. Sarah?
Thanks, Wendy. I'd like to turn things over now for a few words of introduction and welcome from Janet McCabe, our Acting Assistant Administrator. Janet?
Thanks, Sarah. Thanks to everybody for joining us. It's great to have you all here, and I'm pleased to be here. I won't take very long because I know we want to get to the presentation, but we thought it was very timely for us to get everybody on the phone to talk a little bit about implementation activities. We certainly appreciate all the input and the comments that we've gotten from the state, local, and tribal agencies on the Clean Power Plan and the associated rules. We've gotten a lot of input, as you know, and there's lots of discussions going on in various places in various ways about that. So I want to make sure that you know how much we appreciate your comments. I'm giving a high priority to the agency comments, and I'm finding them very, very helpful and really appreciate the time that you all clearly put into giving us that input. As Sarah mentioned, the topic today is not the rule itself, but rather implementation and thoughts that we're starting to have and want to engage you in, and how we will work together after the rule is finalized, moving into the actual development of plans. Last fall, EPA pulled together an internal implementation team that includes representatives from headquarters and all 10 of our regional offices. And that team has been working, looking very carefully at all the comments that have come in from everybody, and also paying attention to the conversations that we're hearing and having, looking at options for the best ways to move ahead with the Clean Power Plan after its final, which will be this summer. We've also been giving a lot of thought to the tools and resources that states will need in order to get them going on developing their implementation plans. So I'm pleased at the efforts that are underway so far, but I recognize that there's a lot of work to do here, and in order to do that work effectively, we need to be doing it with you. So this is one opportunity, but by no means the only one. We will have many more opportunities to converse with you about the issues that we're going to touch on today. I want to encourage you, in addition to sending comments in today, which, as Sarah noted, we will respond to as many as we can today, but then we'll certainly follow up with ones that we can't get to today. I want to make sure that you know that you can always go through your regional contact with any questions that you have about the Clean Power Plan, and use that as your first point of contact, and we have a network set up so that those questions will get to the right person to get an answer back to you. I know how important it is for states to be thinking about these things and talking with one another, and with the kinds of organizations that are out there to help you figure out what tools and resources you need and how to use them as we move forward with this program. I know that there are those kinds of conversations going on. Sometimes they're with us, sometimes they're not with us. But I think that that's incredibly positive and helpful. And I think there's already been a lot of sharing of resources and ideas. And we welcome any of that you want to share with us. And hopefully the webinar today will prompt some questions on your end that you can get to us so we can know what's on your mind in terms of things that you think you will be wanting and needing. We're also aware that there are discussions going on between and amongst the utilities and the states. There have been some very constructive discussions here just last week. The NARUC conference was here, and that was a really good discussion with six state utility commissioners talking about their three top things with the Clean Power Plan. Very good dialogue back and forth. The FERC is holding a series of technical conferences on reliability questions. EPA and many of the states are participating in those, and I think those are all great forums. So I think as all of that discussion happens, we want to make sure that we're channeling to you and that you're channeling to us as we all think about what will be needed and wanted. So with that, let me thank you again for joining us, and now I will, I think the presentation is going to go over to Juan Santiago. Many of you know Juan from his work in the permit program at EPA. He's leading the effort at EPA on 111D implementation and has many years of experience working with our programs under the Clean Air Act with the regions and also with the states. So I'm not sure if I'm actually turning it over to him or back to Sarah, but whichever of them wants to pick up, I will turn it back to you and say thank you.
Thanks, Janet. I did want to say, just as a reminder again before Juan begins to go through the slides for this implementation update, that we encourage folks to go ahead and type questions in as you go so we can be prepared to answer them at the end of the presentation. So with that, I will go ahead and turn it over to Juan to begin.
Okay, thank you, Sarah, and thanks, Janet, for that introduction. And once again, welcome to all of the state representatives that are on the line today. We appreciate your participation. For those of you, of course, that are not on the line, we will be posting the webinar, as Sarah mentioned. It will be available on our EPA toolkit website, so it will be posted for reference and for those that are not able to join us today. We understand and we know that there's great interest in the Clean Power Plan, and in particular about implementation issues associated with the Clean Power Plan. So we are very interested in engaging with you states and tribes and territories to ensure that we can provide the necessary tools and policy guidance and anything else that you may need in order to ensure a successful implementation of this rule. My understanding is that there's upwards of 250 plus people attending today's webinar, so we really thank you for your interest and your participation. That's very exciting. I personally, as Janet mentioned, have been with the agency for over 20 years working on a variety of programs, and this is a very exciting opportunity for me, so I hope that you all are as excited as we are here in the agency. So today's webinar will focus on, you know, again, how EPA intends to work with the states in the coming months. It's not necessarily, it's not about the proposed rulemaking. Again, as it's already been said today, that's in the process of, you know, deliberation based on the comments. But we have gone ahead and done something that typically we don't do, which is start our efforts on implementation prior to the rule actually going final, with the understanding that things, you know, may change, but we want to get a head start, and we want to engage with you, our stakeholders and our partners, co-regulators, partners, and to ensure that we can get this done and hit the ground running as quickly as possible. In order to do that, we definitely need your help in gathering input on all the implementation issues and any questions and any planning needs that you may have. So our goal is to be available to you and to answer any questions and provide the tools and resources that you have, that you need, in order to help you plan accordingly to ensure a smooth implementation of this rule. So you should be seeing a slide now that has a snapshot of our Power Plan Toolbox website. This is where you will be able to find today's presentation. Currently, the website has some resources already available on it, such as the Clean Power Plan State Goal Visualizer, which is a spreadsheet-based tool. There is also a Ready to Mass technical support document that we put together to help states that are interested. As you may know, our proposal was establishing state goals on a rate basis, and there was some interest on a mass basis type of goal. So we put together a technical support document that's available on that website that helps you navigate the calculations to translate a rate-based number to a mass number. There's also policies and programs for reducing CO2 from the power sectors and other tools for assessing energy efficiency and renewable energy policies and programs. So we hope that, you know, this website proves to be useful for everybody. We know that there's great interest in some of these tools, and our goal is to update this tool as we go along and we engage with you and get a better understanding of the types of resources that you need, and as we go ahead and develop those will be available on this website. You can also register to receive alerts when we add new documents to this toolbox. And you could do that on that website. As you can see, there's a web link at the top of the page, top right-hand corner of the page. In addition to what we have here on our website, there's also many publicly available open source resources and tools that are available, such as the SNAPS planning tool. Also, the Nicholas Institute has a webinar available on market programs. And the Regulatory System Project, they put together some papers, one in particular about how the Clean Power Plan state plans are different from the typical Section 110 state implementation plans that I believe most of you are very familiar with. And then finally, I will also mention that we understand that NACA, sometime this spring, will be providing a menu of options that will, you know, that will detail programs the states may choose to use when they're building their own plans. And they're also working on a model rule that will that is intended to help state regulators with detailed examples of regulatory language that they can use as they develop their plans to comply with the Clean Power Plan. Right now, you know, the key dates for implementation of this rule, we, during the spring and summer of this year of 2015, our goal, our main goal, is to continue to engage with states and tribes and territories on implementation issues associated with the rule. And we will be talking more throughout the webinar about the process and some ideas that we have on how to do that. By the summer of this year, there are a couple of rulemakings that we're planning to finalize. The first one is the carbon pollution standard for the new modified and reconstructed power plants under Section 111B. And then also we intend to finalize the clean power plan for existing power plants in states, Indian Country, and U.S. territories under the Cleaner Act Section 111D, which is the main subject of the implementation team that we put together and that we're talking about today. In addition to finalizing those two rules, the agency has already announced also that we plan to propose a federal plan for meeting the Clean Power Plan goals as well. And that is a proposal that will go through a notice and rulemaking process similar to other rulemakings that the agency does that I believe all of you should be familiar with by now. But if not, this is a process that provides for public participation and the ability to review documents and provide comments before going final. During the summer of 2015 through the summer of 2016, again, we will be strongly focused on assisting states and tribes and the territories in developing their plans. Our goal is to work together and provide with you with the resources necessary so that you can get those plans put together. We will be working on additional webinars, trainings on the final requirements of the guidelines, and we will talk further about our training plans and ideas that we have at the moment. And then we will also be talking later on today of some of the resources and tools that we are considering working on and putting together for you all, and we will be releasing those during that time frame so that they're available by the time the plans are required to be coming in and approved. So I guess the common theme that you're hearing today and you'll continue to hear today is that, you know, EPA is strongly committed to working with you as our co-regulator partners, states, tribes, and territories in the process of developing your plans and providing you with the necessary tools. We are making ourselves available to assist you in developing and evaluating the implementation plans. Janet McCabe's already mentioned, and we will provide some additional information at the end of the webinar. But your regional offices are your principal point of contact, your first point of contact in reaching out to receive any assistance or ask any questions that you may have. And we're basically making ourselves available to do that and have close coordination with the regions. And at the end of the presentation, we will be providing you with specific names and numbers of your regional contacts and where to go to seek that support and that assistance. So our goal, again, is working together with you, the states and tribes and territories, to identify any assistance needs and any resources that you have, that you need, that we can provide or that we can develop or that we can leverage from other places to ensure that we can meet the needs that you have in order to complete your plans. Our staff is dedicated to working with the states, with the co-regulators on their plans. And as I mentioned, we do have an implementation team that consists of folks from all the regions as well as headquarters. And so we're all working very closely to provide that consistency across the process. And again, we will have that listing at the end of the webinar so you all can have that as a reference point. So now I'd like to take a couple minutes to talk to you about what are we hearing from the states on implementation needs. And I will assure you that we are closely, you know, following these things and analyzing the list of items that are on this page. And I'm just going to highlight a few of them for you. But we're really engaged and closely following these things. The first one is the process and timing options for plan submittals. There have been requests for the ability to do electronic submittal of state plans. We are closely engaged in the process of getting a better understanding of what sort of system would be required, would be useful, to what level. You know, are we talking about things that are just a place for people to put in files where we can download them, or are we talking also about providing a platform where states can communicate with each other and work together as they develop their plans to share ideas, even possibly as a place for states that are wanting to do multi-state planning to work together and collaborate in the process of putting those plans together and then submit those to the agency for review, and whether that electronic system could also be developed in a way that would provide transparency in the review process and help EPA coordinate and ensure national consistency. So all of that is things that we're closely monitoring and having internal conversations about the different opportunities and ideas that we may have, and our goal is to be sharing some of that with you in the very near future and getting some feedback on that. We're also hearing about funding and assistance for the development of the state plans, the idea of obtaining grants and providing training to the states to ensure proper development of plans. A little bit further down the presentation, I will talk some more about this, but I will mention that there's the president's budget proposal includes some requests for money associated with the development of state plans, and again, I will cover that in more detail a little bit later on. But it's clearly an indication there's a presidential initiative in providing support and funding for the states in order to ensure that the plans are developed and that emission reductions associated with those are achieved. So. It's something, again, closely that we're following closely, and the president has a keen interest in. Then technical and analytical support. First one here is the rate to mass conversion process. As I mentioned, you can already go onto our toolbox website and find a document there where the agency has put out some processes and procedures to help you do that. There's other things such as emissions tracking and trading platforms that we're also in the process of internally deliberating and talking through. And again, things that we will be engaging with you all in the near future to get a better understanding of what would be useful and get some ideas and some input from you. In addition to the technical and analytical support, we are also hearing that it would be useful to have some guidance documents and some examples. In particular, we have a listing here of a few of them. For example, a non-binding template for state plans, basically something that could help you as you're sitting down and putting together a state plan, kind of check the box of all the different components and things associated with a complete plan. Also, the proper characterization of energy efficiency and renewable energy in plans, guidance documents around how to properly take into consideration and into account those reductions. acceptable evaluation, measurement, and verification, or EMNV, for energy efficiency and renewable energy. We understand also that, you know, the states have a strong desire to work with the agency on the EMNV aspect of this program, and we are certainly interested in engaging with you and getting some feedback from you on that as well. How to demonstrate performance with respect to the individual state goals, and also the approval process for multi-state plans that would cross EPA and regional boundaries, as I'm sure you all know, and we've heard from you already. You know, there's the possibility of multi-state plans that cross across different regional boundaries because of the way that the electricity system works. So we will, again, that's another area that we're closely engaged in thinking about, and we will spend some time in deliberating and engaging with you guys and trying to ensure that we provide and understand your needs and provide what you need on that as far as resources and guidance. Then the next piece is about consistency in EPA's implementation and plan review process. A component of that I've already touched on a little bit with regards to the possibility of establishing an electronic submittal system that would also allow EPA to share information nationally to ensure that there's national consistency. But furthermore, besides the electronic system, our internal team here, internal implementation team, has been doing a lot of work in developing the process for EPA review and approval of the plans as they come in, or to ensure that as things come in, if we have a need to go back to the state and ask for additional information, that we have everything laid out and ready to go to ensure that we can do this in the most efficient way and in the most effective way and ensure that there's national consistency throughout. We will be chatting also with you guys about the process. It shouldn't be much different from what we've done in the regular 110 world, but because of this program being slightly different, we're being very careful and making sure that we hit all the points that we have to hit and ensure that we're working closely with our regional counterparts to ensure that we have successful implementation. And then finally, the opportunities to provide input on EPA implementation products during the development of those products. As I mentioned, we understand that there's a strong desire to participate in the development of the EMNV protocols or guidance, and we are looking for ways to establish that process to get your feedback, get your thinking and your ideas, not only on the EMNV, I mentioned that as an example that has been brought to our attention, but in all of these different topics and areas. Next, this is about the internal planning. I've already talked about this some, and some of you are already aware because, that EPA has convened this internal implementation focus work group. Again, it has representatives from all 10 regions. It had representatives from a variety of headquarters offices, including, of course, the Office of Air Quality Planning and Standards and the Office of Atmospheric Programs, but also folks from our legal departments and also from our enforcement offices. So we're ensuring that we have complete representation of this group. Our goal as a team is to facilitate the development of these approvable plans and to provide, the necessary support and resources and tools. We want to identify any potential needs that you may have and also build the necessary infrastructure to assist you, our co-regulators, as you're moving forward in the development of those plans. And, once we have a better understanding of what those needs are, to actually work on developing those products and providing those and making those available to you. So some of those products were just listed on the previous slide that we just covered. Specifically, at this time, the work group's already working on plans for guidance and training and tools. In particular, we are closely, we're a little bit far along on developing a training plan for states. And we'll again talk a little bit more about this later in the presentation, but our goal here is to ensure that once the guidelines go final, we are ready to hit the ground running to provide the necessary training to the state and tribes and territories to ensure that they can put together this the state plans, this implementation plans. And we're also working on outreach, on an outreach plan for the state EPA engagement and, understanding that we're working on the implementation piece of a rule that hasn't gone final. We're working carefully through the process, but we are rest assured that we are going to be engaging just like we are today. We will be having additional conversations in establishing a process to ensure that we get the necessary feedback that you have the ability to reach out to us and we can work together with you. And again, the process for building communication, connection, and continuity between the headquarters and the regional offices is also a key component of our internal planning. The whole purpose of this is, we want to organize ourselves to ensure that we can provide efficient and responsive system for assisting you guys in planning and ultimately receiving and reviewing and approving those plans quickly. Okay, so in connecting with the states, one example of how our group is planning to help states with a clean power plan implementation is through the training programs. As I mentioned, we're developing a detailed plan. And we will be starting to solicit input on the training for the states very soon. We're looking for efficient ways to connect with you as we identify additional implementation tools. And, we will find the right way to connect with you, we're looking for you to help us to identify what that is. There are some ways that we've already thought about and how to do this. We may connect with you through the state trade associations such as NACA, APCA, ECOS, NAROC, and NASIO. All of those, as you know, have regular meetings and calls, and so we may be participating in those. But we will also make ourselves available for any special meetings and calls as they come along. We are studying the possibility of having an EPA state committee that would help us share information and get some ideas and feedback. We could possibly use web-based tools to, surveys to get additional, put out some additional feelers and questions to get your thinking. We would be posting content on our EPA toolbox, as I mentioned, at Clean Power Plan Toolbox website, and possibly even individually connecting through the headquarters or regions, not just from the state towards the regions, but also from the regions or headquarters towards the states as we move forward and we run into questions and have ideas that we want to share with you. So as I mentioned, we're working on a training plan. We will begin to solicit your ideas on the specific training topics and platforms coming up this March. And our goal is to do that through the EPA-MJO Joint Training Committee. The committee has representatives from a variety of state trade groups, Westar, Marama, Sincera, NESCOM, LATCO, NACA, APCA, and so on. The goal of the training is to equip the states and tribes and territories and any other stakeholders with what they need in order to implement the Clean Power Plan. And in addition to that, we're also including in our training thinking the needs of communities and how those can participate in the process of implementation, but also how the co-regulators and the implementers of the Clean Power Plan can engage with the communities in the process of implementation. So we will use this training committee to solicit your input on the training topics that you need and some of the ideas that we currently have are, you know, a better understanding of the electricity system, such as resource planning, energy markets, and energy forecasting, measures, programs, and policies for reducing CO2 from the electricity system, including emissions measurement and verification guidance, the EMNB, and also gathering and using electricity and emissions data. In addition to the training committee, we will be connecting with the state on issues as they become ripe and you know surface. We will be closely following those issues to determine the needs. There are some examples on this slide, such as a checklist of essential plan elements, different measures, to reduce emissions from power plants, in particular, things that are outside of the BSER building blocks that I'm sure you're all familiar with, the four building blocks that were the basis of the targets that were established in the proposal, including things that are already in existing programs. State plan templates, examples or model rules, including some detail elements such as compliance pathways, regional planning approaches, and others. And in addition, we will also be closely following, you know, any other publicly available tools and resources that the states may be using and see how we can leverage some of those resources. So now I'll just spend a few minutes talking about the budget and the 2016 budget and the president's proposed budget and how it prioritizes climate action by providing funding to support efforts to address climate change. In particular, there are in the budget request, there's $25 million in grants that are designed to help states develop their clean power plant strategies, including work to develop the plants themselves, not just strategies, but also work to develop the plants. The Clean Power State Initiative Fund proposal of $4 billion investment fund for states, provides an opportunity for all states to invest in a range of activities that provide states, again, with the opportunity to go further than the Clean Power Plan requirements, and not just further, but also to get those reductions sooner. some of the things included there are, so, you know, there's a couple of examples here addressing, again, the disproportionate impacts of environmental pollution in low-income communities, and also supporting businesses expanding their efforts in energy efficiency and renewable energy, things that, such as combined heat and power, for example, through the grants and investments in much needed infrastructure. So this is a presidential initiative, and the EPA would be the agency in charge of administering this money, but this is money that is directly from the president initiative. As far as the details on how that's going to work, those still need to be developed. The process for applications for those still needs to be worked on and developed, but it's clearly something that is close to the president's desire to move forward with. And then one more thing that I'll mention about this is that the way that this is being looked at is that it's not going to be a first-come, first-served kind of basis. Basically, it's an equal opportunity fund that all states will have the ability to get some resources from, if they so are inclined to do. And then the last slide that, the second to last slide is, I mentioned earlier that we have this implementation team. The slide on the screen now shows you the people that in each region, that you should be contacting as questions come up, as you feel that you need to reach out to the agency and look for help or have any thoughts or any concerns. these are the right people to reach out to. They will be coordinating closely with the headquarters office to ensure that we can provide what you need, the tools and resources, but also that we do that in a consistent way, throughout throughout the nation. So to close out, I can't say this enough. We're eager to stay connected with the states. We're looking for ways to make that work. We're looking for ways to make the connection efficient and effective. We do need your help. We definitely do to continue moving forward with our outreach and engagement that we've done to date, which has been unprecedented. And we invite you to please contact your regional counterparts if you have any questions, have any needs related to the implementation. Again, I thank you all for your participation or your time and your interest. I believe we're going to take a few minutes, and we're going to pass it over to.
Yeah, we're going to take a few minutes to turn it over to Wendy, who has some poll questions for the attendees, and then we'll start working through some of the questions that we've received while you've been speaking. Wendy?
Great. So we're just going to take a few minutes to ask a few poll questions to gather some information from the folks on the call. The first question is, how familiar are you with EPA's APSE Learning Management System? Very familiar, somewhat familiar, or not familiar? So if you just take a moment to select the answer that applies to you, we'll give everybody a minute to respond. Okay, it looks like most folks have had a chance to respond, so I'm going to go ahead and close it. And it looks like about half the 44% are not familiar with the system, 41% are somewhat familiar, and 16% are very familiar. The next poll question is, should now be on your screen. How familiar are you with EPA's toolbox for the Clean Power Plan? Again, very familiar, somewhat familiar, or not familiar? Again, I'm just going to give everybody a minute or so to respond. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and close it and share the results. It looks like over half of the group is somewhat familiar. 27% is not familiar, and 18% is very familiar. Moving on to the next question. And the question is, how useful have you found the Clean Power Plan toolbox? Very useful, somewhat useful, not useful, or if you aren't very familiar with it, perhaps the best answer is not applicable. Again, just going to give everybody a few minutes to respond. Not minutes. Two more seconds to respond. All right, I'm going to go ahead and share the results. And it looks like about half of folks responded not applicable, but of the folks that are familiar with it, 33% have found it somewhat useful, 13% not useful, and 6% very useful. All right, the next question. What training topics would benefit your state? And for this question, please check all that apply to you. So training on understanding the electricity system, energy forecasting, measures, policies, and programs that reduce CO2 emissions, or translating energy savings to emissions reductions. And again, on this question, feel free to select all that apply to you. I'm going to give everybody a little bit longer on this question since there are a few more words involved. All right, and it looks like for this question, there's interest in all of the topics. More than half of the respondents selected each answer. The most popular answer was translating energy savings to emission reductions, followed by measures, policies, and programs that reduce CO2 emissions, then energy forecasting, and then understanding the electricity system. Okay, The next poll question is launched now. And the question is, have you started preliminary plan development? Yes or no? All right. Looks like almost three quarters of the group have not started, but about a quarter have. And then the last poll question is, what forms of training would be most helpful? And we ask that for this question you pick the top two answers, so the two forms that would be most helpful to you. National workshops, national webinars, regional workshops, regional webinars, or case studies. So again, if you could pick the two that would be most helpful. Give everybody just a few more seconds to answer this one. Okay. And it looks like folks are most interested in information at the regional level, and case studies are the next most popular, followed by national workshops and webinars. And with that, that concludes the poll questions. I'm going to hand it back over to Sarah.
Thanks, Wendy. We've received a number of questions, and I'm going to just turn it over to Juan, who will read the question and respond to it. We've got about a little under 15 minutes for this portion, so I think we probably have enough questions to fill most of that time.
Okay, we'll do the best we can to answer as many as possible. Okay, so the first question, not surprisingly, is will you be sending out or posting these slides? And hope so. So the answer is yes, the slides, will be available at our Clean Power Plan Toolbox website. Again, it's www.epa.gov/cleanpowerplantoolbox. They will not be emailed. They will be posted on the website. Second question is the rate to mass TSD new or the same one that came out with the rule proposal? And the one that we're talking about is the one that came out in October of 2014. It's not another document. It's the one that came out in October. Next question, will the states have a full 12 months after the final Clean Power Plan is published to submit their implementation plans? That question, of course, is clearly a question on the actual rulemaking. We did ask for comments on the amount of time necessary, but we're not going to, I can't speculate as to what the final rule is going to say in the context of this webinar. Okay, next, the federal plans that EPA will propose this summer, will those be default plans for states who fail to submit their own plans, or would they be more of a model rule plan that states could choose to adopt? If they are the default plan, will there be a one-size-fits-all approach, that is one plan for any and all states, or will EPA propose a plan option for each state? Again, that is a proposal. When it comes out, it may serve as a guide for states that are developing plan. But this is the state plan. The federal plan. It's a rule package. It's a proposal that our goal is to have it available this summer. It's not a final rule. It will go through a full round of public review and comment in order for states and stakeholders to weigh in on the specifics before any federal plan goes final. This is how we normally do this process. It's our standard tried and true regulatory process that everyone I think is familiar with, and means all parties will have a chance to comment and provide their thinking on what it how it will work and what it will do. So stay tuned for that, but again, participate in the process. exactly how it's going to work out is still to be, you know, developed. The next question is, these things all sound very helpful. Can you give some indication of when we can get a similar presentation again, but with more specificity about what's being provided under each one of the items? And so, as you know, I've said during the presentation, our goal is to establish engagement opportunities and mechanisms to share information with you. So as those things, as we move forward and we get those in place and we start communicating with you more often, we expect that as those materials become available and we, you know, as we develop them and become available, there will be additional opportunities and additional presentations on their content and even the possibility of opportunity for comment and review of materials as they're put together. Next, are you designing the infrastructure to be complementary with or similar to other infrastructure already in place that states are using or that you know that they will be able to use? I'm assuming this question is in the context of the electronic system. But in general, our goal is not to establish something here that states are not familiar with or difficult to implement. On the contrary, our goal is to ensure that the states have what they need and the process is such that it's one that you're familiar with and in order to ensure that the plans are put together quickly and that we can get them through the system reviewed and approved as quickly and efficiently as possible. Regarding the electronic system, if the question was oriented towards that, we are working very closely with the folks that that are doing the electronic SIP submittal project that some of you might have participated in and that the agency is moving forward with. So if you're familiar with that system, our system should look, or our thinking is that you know, we will be similar to that, and so you should be familiar with a system that, you know, follows that model. Again, we will be engaging in further conversation with you on what a system, electronic system, that would be useful to you should look like, so there will be opportunity also to provide some feedback and thinking about how to make it work best. Next question is, can states choose to have the federal plan apply to them rather than developing their own plan? So the answer to this is that, yeah, states have done so in the past. That's not uncommon. That's just happened before. But our strong preference is for states to go ahead and design their own programs and their own approvable plans and programs. We will continue to encourage the states, or I keep saying states, but I mean states, tribes, and territories, to stay in the lead and design a program that reflects its particular circumstances and the energy and environmental policy objectives of their own, but also one that draws on, you know, the broad range of flexibilities that are available under the 111D proposal. And so, again, the fact, you know, some states have chosen in the past to get the federal plan applied to them, and that could still happen here, but our strong preference is that states work on their own approvable plans, and we stand ready to help you, you know, as you develop those plans and make that happen. All right, next question is, what can EPA clarify at this point about states working cooperatively on multi-state plans? So, you know, to this I would say that, you know, we do want to encourage regional cooperation. We got a lot of comments about different ways that we can do that. We know that many states are working in regional groups and regional collaborative groups, and we've seen your comments that there's a lot of interest in us defining some parameters, but also providing flexibility on how that would work. So all I can say is that I can assure you that we're thinking through this. It's an important area for us, and it's something that we're really interested in pursuing as well.
Okay, we have a question also now that says, can you expand on NACA menu of options and model rule that you mentioned in the beginning of the presentation? So those are items that we have been made aware of that are in the process. Of course, they're not EPA work products, but our understanding is that NACA is putting together a document that will provide a variety of options and alternatives and techniques to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and we'll release that document sometime in the spring. And also that NACA was in the process of putting together a model rule that would also, again, be released sometime in the spring, hopefully to help other states that, you know, help states as they put together their plans. But again, let me emphasize, they're not EPA work products, so I personally cannot attest to their content and their release dates. Okay, question on the training committee. The EPA-MJO Joint Training Committee sounds good, but currently only Westar actively includes tribes. Unless other MJOs also involve tribes, more than on a superficial level, a large segment of the regulatory voice would be heard. Would not be heard, I would assume. So, this is a good point. We actually mentioned the Joint Training Committee as an example of how we're going to be reaching out and getting some feedback on the training plan. But we're closely involved also with the folks here in the Office of Air Quality Planning and Standards that are experts on tribes and tribal governments, and we're working with them to ensure that the tribes get full participation and opportunities as the same as the states or anybody else.
All right, thanks, Juan. We want to take just the minute or so that's left in the time that we have to allow for one last poll question from our audience. But before we do that, I want to thank everybody for joining us today. If you're on the East Coast, you're probably dealing with some weather outside. I know we are here in RTP, so we appreciate you taking the time. I'm going to turn things back over to Wendy, who has an additional poll question to ask the audience. So thank you.
So the last question is actually going to be an exit survey question that pops up when you sign out of GoToWebinar. It's just one additional follow-up question building on the poll questions you answered during the webinar. But as you sign out today, if you could just take a minute to please answer this one follow-up question. We appreciate your input, and it's helpful as this process continues.
All right, great. So with that, we're gonna wrap up and close things out. Thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to working with you in the weeks to come.